Hello, you're listening to Spoiler Filled Film Conversation Hooray, or just Spoiler Filled, if you like. Here is the podcast.
And a lot of us have colds, so if we sound like we have colds, that's why we do have colds. I'm Richard Nicholas, and with me today are you.
I'm Oliver Payne. I don't have a cold.
I'm Anthony Evans, and I do.
I'm Bane, and I have a cold.
And I'm Rich. Wait, I said that, and I have a cold, and I feel like we sound like we're in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Illness Anonymous.
Yeah. I've been cold for 3 years now. don't know why I did that voice. Just use my normal voice. Right, the film today. Matt Damon is running around in funny hats opening doors, and it's just a weird like symbolism for God and...
No, Rich. No. That's the Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah, the Adjustment Bureau.
No. You were supposed to watch The Assassination Bureau.
What?
It's an Oliver Reed film from 1969.
But neither of those movies have James Mason.
No, that's the Sherlock Holmes film you've been banging about for weeks.
Oh. What's the film?
The Assassination Bureau.
Oh. So it's not the one with Matt Damon in?
No.
Oh, you mean The Bourne Legacy?
I'll go watch Assassination... What was it? Assassination Bureau.
Yes, okay. From 1969.
Oh, back in a sec. Stomp. I see, I've watched the right one now. Obviously, I did watch the right one. I'm being silly. Someone give us a synopsis.
Right, I picked this film, mainly because Oliver Reed's in it, and I felt like watching an Oliver Reed film. So as we said, it's Assassination Bureau from 1969. It's directed by Basil Dearden. It's written by four different people. Some wrote the original book, some did additional. They are Robert L. Fish, Jack London, Wolf Mankiewicz, best name ever.
I know L. Fish is pretty good.
And Michael Ralph, starring Oliver Reed, Dan Rigg, and Telly Savalas.
See, I like L. Fish because it sounds like the like a sidekick to Zorro. Because it's like the fox.
L. Fish.
You know?
It is about... yeah. It's about Sonia Winter, who is played by Diana Rigg. She is a new reporter who is investigating the Assassination Bureau. A decades-old society of assassins who used to apply moral standards to their contract but have since become more flexible. She commissions a contract on their leader and he agrees. Their leader is Ivan Dragominov, played by Oliver Reed, and he has a cat and mouse time with his Assassination Bureau as they try to kill him and he tries to defend himself slash kill them in retort.
You have his name there, Ivan what?
Ivan Dragomilov.
Yeah, I didn't remember that. I was just like, Lego haircut Oliver Reed. That's how I remembered him. So, Abby, you chose this. You said you wanted to watch an Oliver Reed film.
Yes.
Any more to it? Why? Why Oliver Reed?
Because I like him.
Why?
I like films he's in. I particularly like The Three Musketeers, The Four Musketeers. And I felt like it's a whole another period thing with Oliver Reed in it.
Had anyone else seen it before now?
No.
None of us have seen it.
No, this is kind of the movie. You can't even buy this on DVD.
Yeah.
Hell, it's very expensive. You can get one from Spain and Germany.
Yeah, luckily we have a time machine and we went back to see the original premiere. So
yeah. Or caught it on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'd never even heard of it, obviously. And, yeah, it was. I wasn't sure what I was in for at all. I knew it was, like, going to be dated, but I had no idea what I was...
Yeah, my first impression was that it's going to be, like, a serious kind of thriller about people, you know, killing each other.
It did sound that way in the premise.
But no.
No, it was nearly a farce. It didn't quite make it, but it was almost there.
To me, I think it was a farce. I think it was very much in the same vein as... what did you say earlier, Ollie?
I think it's kind of... it's Blake Edwards' The Great Race, but instead of cars, there are bombs.
Yeah. It's got that kind of farcical film thing, like A Mad, Mad World. And like, you know, not Carry On. Carry On's a little more bawdy than this. But
there's a whole array of classic British actors... wandering around,
yeah,
bumbling,
doing bad accents, all brilliant accents, I'm not sure. Yeah, so anyone want to jump in with any opinion, because it's one of those films, it progresses through a lot of complicated and convoluted plot lines that we might get hung up on. So anyone got any first reactions to it? Or?
I kind of liked it. It was much lighter and easily... It's much...
Easy to digest?
It's not as long as its running time.
What do you mean it's not as long as its running time?
Some really long comedy movies feel really, really, really long. This doesn't feel
as long as it doesn't drag out as... Yeah, no. I get you. Andy, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really funny. I think, again, because my expectations were flipped, thinking it's going to be like a really serious, tense British thriller.
Like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Donkey.
Yeah, something like that. And then it turns into like a farce.
It was
a darkly comic farce that only the British can do.
I did like that bit in Tinker Tailor, Soldier Donkey, where they revealed that the donkey was the spy.
Yeah, I mean, we spoiled... well, it's called Spoiler Filled, so... It is Sorry we spoiled filled. Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy for you. It is about the donkey in the end, but...
And they finally killed off the donkey at the beach in Bognor. It's very sad.
Yeah, but he was a double agent, so, you know, fair enough, really.
Yeah, I guess so.
The film we watched, Abby, did you enjoy it? You picked it.
I had a similar reaction to Anthony. I'd watched a couple of clips before I picked it just to make sure that it looked like a viable option. So I knew that it was, some of it was a bit lighter and brighter, but I still figured that it was sort of light in the way that a Bond film is light.
Yeah.
But it was a farce.
Well, that's the interesting thing about this one, is it has not only one actor who played Blofeld. Am I saying that name wrong, right?
Blofeld.
They had two. They had two Blofelds as the baddies. That already ups all of the Bonds, doesn't it?
I know they had Telly Savalas, but who's the second one?
The Telly Savalas, I guess, is the main villain from this film. Mm-hmm.
General von Pink.
He was the German assassin. Who wore a monocle that fell off in a sword fight, or just before a sword fight.
He wasn't a Blofeld.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
No, he was in The Spy Who Loved Me, in the big thing which rises out of the sea and then goes back down again.
No, was he that guy?
Yeah.
Very similar to Blofeld, though. I could see why you get confused.
Oh, that was the one of the...
Can you remember his name?
Oh.
The Bond villain in question.
There's been a few Blofelds.
The Jürgens?
Yeah.
That's the actor, sorry. That's the actor.
Okay, well, two Bond villains, a classic sort of, if I'd remembered them properly, that's still better than any Bond. If it's got two villains instead of one, you know.
True. And Diana Rigg was a Bond girl herself.
This is all very Bond-linked. It wasn't like a Bond film, I wouldn't say it was that. Especially because it's like a farcical movie.
Yeah, well, maybe more a touch of like the Roger Moore Bond film. It was, you know, slightly more focused on the comedy here.
Yeah.
But also plenty of explosions.
Yeah, and travelling the country and, you know, dealing with assassinations.
That's the thing, travelling like all over Europe and meeting crazy people with crazy accents and killing them.
A lot of clichés being used in this film. Like, almost every country would be... we went to... we should talk about the main two actors, I guess, before we get on to where they went and why. So... Who did you say the female actress was?
Diana Rigg. She was famously in the Avengers, the TV show from the 60s. Mm-hmm. And she gets about
does.
But that's the one that everyone knows her for.
Yeah. Well, I liked her in this. She was a likeable female lead, though her character took a back seat a lot of the time and was like it was a weird character, because basically she's a reporter who is trying to show up the Assassination Bureau for being a bunch of horrible hypocrites who shouldn't be willing to murder people for money. So she becomes a reporter, gets funding, and then says to the leader of the Assassination Bureau, who is Oliver Reed, basically, "Oh, I want to hire you. Oh yeah, who do you want me to kill? I want you to kill yourself." And then Oliver Reed's like, interesting challenge. And basically he goes, "Yes, I will take it on, and I will then go off and kill myself." But he doesn't do that, of course. He just tells all the other people in the Assassination Bureau, right, I've took this weird client on. You guys have to kill me. I'm sick of you guys being big, rich, fat cats. I mean, why did they... Like, what was his thing? What was his thing for...
It used... When the Assassination Bureau was founded by Ivan's father, they used to apply a moral code to which contracts they would take.
Yeah.
But since his father died and Ivan's taken over...
It's getting a bit slack.
Yeah. He doesn't have the same authority that his father did, and they're not taking notice of him.
Yeah. So Oliver Reed, or Ivan, is basically... issuing the challenge that all of his head assassins can try and kill him, or he will kill them. And that's basically the setup for the rest of the movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
We should explain that the Bureau is regional. So there is the chief assassin for France. There's a chief assassin for Germany.
Hmm.
So that's why he's travelling around Europe, because that's where they are.
Yeah. And they're all old cronies, the head assassins, aren't they? There's no, like, young, suave, sophisticated... They're just big, old, fat cats who have become complacent or... We don't even know. They're not characterised that much. They're just sort of parodies of whatever country they're from. So, did any one of the old assassins stand out to you guys at all? We had the Russian guy, for me, who had the weirdest, like... deep, like, voice. He was sort of...
He was so miserable.
Miserable and deep voice. He was kind of weird.
He was a bit like Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It wasn't played for laughs in that way, but it was just like, hello, I am the Russian. It's just really weird.
For some reason, the Italian one sticks out for me, and that's really odd because he gets killed pretty quickly by his wife.
Yeah, He is not so much involved in the Ivan. Sorry, I don't know what to call him. But he gets bumped off by his wife, and basically the wife becomes the assassin that tries to kill Oliver Reed's character.
Because there's a bounty. Which is kind of odd.
But yeah, he just... What was his thing? He ate some pudding that his wife poisoned. That was his moment to shine.
That's weird, but I think I noticed him because he was played by Clive Revel, and he was... I'm pretty good in an episode of Columbo I've watched once.
You got to find something, haven't you? I guess we had a Swiss banker guy who was not very caricatured. He just sort of turned up and got...
Oh, he was played by... Warren...
No idea.
Warren.
Warren Umsky.
He was looking at me like I could help, but I can't.
Yeah. He was played by that guy. He played the really grumpy, racist old man in that sitcom that went on for ages. Warren Mitchell.
There you go.
All right. That's almost interesting if I could connect the dots more. I think I know who you mean. That's kind of weird.
My favourite was the German guy. Not because of him himself, the character, but just the situation.
Yeah. We'll come to that in a minute.
Yeah, because basically we travel to each country for, in one way or another, for Ivan to deal with each of the assassins, whether it's to avoid being killed by them or whether it's to actually try and bump them off.
Sausage bomb.
Yeah, we had a sausage bomb in Germany.
That's the situation to which Anthony was referring.
But the whole thing was so ridiculous. They're supposed to be, like, assassins. And all the way through... We've been shown, like, their good skills and their camouflage skills. And he just obviously Oliver Reed would recognise him, and he just comes out and gives him a giant sausage.
His disguise. His wig is the wrong way round. His moustache is half off.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Properly, they're playing it for laughs, but the concept of the Assassination Bureau is completely flawed by the fact that all of the assassins are pretty much... bomb-loving idiots who can't seem to do a subtle assassination if they try. They, like you say, they do good disguises, perhaps, but they rely on bombs a lot to assassinate people. You'd think they should be covertly poisoning or just mysterying away people. But they love the bomb. And if it comes in a sausage, all the better.
Or even, you know, a spring-loaded knife thrower behind the door.
Anything
at all. Was it always bombs?
One of the bits that really weirded me out is there was a cafe scene where it wasn't really about any one particular assassin.
Oh yeah, they were in Austria where they don't have a branch of the Bureau.
Well remembered. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting down to a cup of tea, Ivan and the reporter lady. What was her name?
Sonia.
And basically, there seems to be an assassination attempt, but it turns out that guy was just trying to assassinate a king or a well-to-do gentleman in Austria, was it?
Yes, yeah. Which then becomes a plot point later on in the film.
Yeah, well, that's that. Well, I don't want to talk about that yet. We'll get to that rubbish.
but for now, it's an amusing distraction.
But if this is what weirded me out, is if you're a professional assassin hired to kill a very important figure, why would you just get up in a cafe and shoot them in public and instantly get arrested? Oh, that was just a crazy man.
Yeah, it was just a crazy man.
I thought they said it was like, oh, the Assassination Bureau is not the only people who assassinate people for money.
He did make reference to it, but I think he was dissing that guy for being a civilian, a bit rubbish.
Okay. Well, but it's not like the Assassination Bureau have subtlety on their side. I mean, the number of times they have a waiter, just I'm the waiter, I've come to kill you and poison you and stuff. Or shoot you in the face. It's just ridiculous. Well, they're terrible. I would never hire the Assassination Bureau. Not on ethical grounds, just because they're rubbish.
No, but he is good. And you have to imagine that a lot of the credibility of the Assassination Bureau is down to him.
It rests on his grandfather's shoulders, presumably.
Because everybody else is terrible.
Yeah, and they probably need to get rid of some of these old-timers if they haven't got it anymore.
Actually, the Russian guy was okay.
What did he do? He just got killed.
No, he was going to kill Sonya, but it's only because Ivan had pretended to be dead and then came back that he was thwarted. You can't account for someone who you think is dead.
I think you're overselling his competency. The fact of the matter is, he went out into a dark alley to stab up Sonya or whatever, and he just got killed by a big flying hook from the sky. I mean, you know, it wasn't that good.
It goes with the stereotype. So, not that I'm endorsing nationalistic stereotypes of any kind, but the effectiveness of each assassin was very much tied to the stereotype of his country.
Yeah.
So the German assassin was a sword-waving idiot. The French one met his end in a brothel.
Yeah. It was a Swiss banker who gets killed by... Basically, the Swiss banker's killed in the most simplistic way, because the Swiss banker's bit of storyline is he is running a bank, and he's heard about an old man costume being used to kill one of the other people, the French guy, and basically he throws out a really old looking guy because he thinks, I'm on to you.
Essentially the first person he sees as well.
Yeah. Oh, I don't trust you, you have a costume described to me like another costume.
But I'm not sure he was ever a good assassin, because he's probably more the financier.
Yeah,
for the organisation.
Still, if you're in the bureau, you're in the bureau.
But the way he gets killed is Oliver Reed just sends in Sonya with a portfolio. She takes it in, leaves it there, and then it blows up. And oh no, she didn't realise she was taking in a bomb. But it was just, you just take in a bomb to a bank and blow them up, do you? That's your way.
Oh. And the Italian gets poisoned. And
by his wife, weirdly.
He
kind of takes over the responsibility of assassinating Oliver Reed then.
But he's probably... She's one of the more effective ones, I guess.
Yeah, because she wasn't in the Assassination Bureau. That's the weird thing. All the assassins are useless. The one woman who actually successfully murders someone she meant to does it just by poisoning food and going, eat up now or we won't have a nice time later. And, yes, ma'am. I'm dead.
And the Russian guy is almost successful but gets knocked by external circumstances.
It's like in all of the countries we visit, the sets are very nice. I'll say that much for the film, but they do feel just like these cliched places, because you know they're just full of the cliches of what the stereotype of the time of the countries and stuff.
Well, at least there wasn't an Irish assassin who killed people with baked potatoes, just pelting them from atop a tower,
or a midget one who dresses as a leprechaun or something and kills them with lucky charms. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. What countries would you have liked to have seen be assassins, and what would they have, done to try and kill
them? Spain would have been a good one. You could always get, a matador.
You definitely would have had a bullfight, wouldn't you? Yeah. And a bull costume is where Oliver Reed would hide and do the killing from.
Yeah, and he could have killed people by accidentally getting them caught up in bull stampedes.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I reckon if they lived in India, they might have done either like a bed of nails that someone could have been killed on, or yeah, poisonous curry. I imagine the British mentality at the time would have had a right laugh thinking, oh, I bet the Indians will kill them with their horrible curries.
Or maybe a snake in a basket.
Yeah, or a snake in a basket, yeah. There'd be a snake charmer assassin. It'd be nice.
Well, in Norway, you could just drop kick people into fjords. Take them on scenic boat rides somehow and then, oh, look, it's a fjord.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, so other things in this film.
We haven't talked about Telles of Alice yet.
Well, yeah, that's not.
This film was made slightly more complicated by the vice president of the Assassination Bureau,
who will be taking charge if Oliver Reed is successfully killed, and that's his motivation, I guess.
But he is Lord Boswick, who is also financing Sonia's contract to get Ivan killed. Ivan doesn't know that until quite late on.
Yeah, it's kind of a convenient plot thing to have Telles of Alice just be a newspaper reporter. Oh, I don't know. Like, it's not so much the way he's in the film so much as the way he plays his role. And it's not like Telles of Alice is particularly astounding actor, but I don't know. What did you guys make of his performance? He's fine. I just, you know, what's to talk about? You know, his personality is just, there's Telles of Alice there.
He's kind of bland.
Yeah. He was meant to be this megalomaniac who wanted to use the Bureau to start war.
Well, I mean,
the main plot point at the end is that the plan of the Assassination Bureau is to somehow get all, like, the heads of, like, the countries together in one place and then wipe them all out, hence starting war.
Yeah. Mm.
And they make money by selling weapons and stuff. But that's how they're going to make their money, is selling weapons during wartime, which they've started themselves.
It's a strange plot, because the whole start bit is about the challenge of Oliver Reed, but then they just sort of throw this in at the last minute and give the finale to this, oh no, all the world's global leaders are in jeopardy, like it's a Bond film suddenly or something.
And a blimp. Got to throw in a blimp somewhere as well.
All that stuff with the Archduke being knocked off and intrigue, but that's really confusing, because it's effectively World War One.
Yeah,
it is. It is a weird.
I think it is World War One. I think that's what this war is.
Lord Bostwick is starting World War One for his own ends. Only they stop him.
Well,
which
didn't
happen in real life.
Well, the plan in real life wasn't to fly a blimp over a castle with a giant cliche cartoon bomb.
And invent the airstrike. Which they keep mentioning a lot, which was a bit weird. It's like, oh, bombs from the air, this is incredible.
We've never thought of such a crazy idea. It is basically, all of our bombs till now have just been ground-based sausage bombs or golden bombs or just bombs. Now we can throw them from the sky, it's genius.
Before we had to use cannons.
So, yeah, this weird bit at the end sort of crowbars Oliver Reed into saving all these, like, world leaders, because he hasn't finished killing all of the assassins yet, and he figures out that Telles of Alice has got this grand plan and decides, do you know what? Time to take Telles of Alice and the German guy out where I failed before. Well, he doesn't fail to get Telles of Alice, he doesn't really come up. But we have this showdown that Anthony's mentioned, of a blimp. Other films with blimp conclusions. The Rocketeer. Anyone remember The Rocketeer having its big grand blimp finale?
Yes.
I would want to say it's similar, but I don't remember The Rocketeer that well. I just remember there was Nazis, a big blimp, and a fight, and it blew up. And in this, similar.
A View to a Kill.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yes, yes.
I've got any more blimp finales?
No? I got nothing.
Finales? Hindenburg. Blimp finale, didn't it?
Yeah, but that, you know, that's like saying any boat stories, Titanic, that was about a boat, wasn't it?
A lot of blimps in Sky Captain, but we don't talk about Sky Captain.
But yeah, as finales go, The Oliver Reed basically grabs hold of a uniform, talks his way onto the blimp, and is up in the air with them as they go to drop the bomb on all these world leaders, and then has a nice sword fight that's... I mean, by modern standards, it wasn't very exciting, but they tried, they did it. They filmed a sword fight, more or less, with the German guy who was evaded the... he didn't blow up in the sausage bomb, which kind of weirded me out.
No, it was like a prince or a duke or something like that. Just who accidentally got...
It landed in front of the wrong person.
Yeah.
Is that one of the jokes? Is like, ha ha ha, the monarchy and stuff get killed every now and again throughout the
yeah,
film.
Yeah, I guess.
Like a running theme. We like blowing up rich, powerful people. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So, sword fight, fire starts, the blimp's crashing, oh no, and then Oliver Reed...
Oh, the blimp captain...
Oh, I do feel sorry for him, Ab.
I do feel sorry for him. He kept the captain of the blimp, who was just a sort of... In this, he was basically a bus driver type character.
A blimp driver.
He wasn't anyone of any consequence. He just knew how to operate a blimp and did his job. He got bossed around by everyone. Everyone was horrible to him. And then he got killed when the blimp crashed.
Yeah. Oliver Reed should have took him and saved him because he was just a nice guy.
He was. So
did anyone else feel emotionally attached to the blimp driver? Or
just no.
Yeah. No, sorry.
Oh, well done, Abby, for remembering his plight. But Oliver Reed, his crazy plan to get off the blimp is to cut away some of the balloonage and float down to safety as it catches on fire and explodes, leaving... go on.
At the time... I assume that this is correct, that at the time, a blimp was actually made of several smaller balloons which were inside a large canopy, and he took one of the smaller balloons out and used it as a personal.
Maybe. I honestly am not a blimp expert, so we let it slide, but he floats down to victory. How did he get Telly Savalas in the end? What was the poetic ending to Telly? He probably got kicked in. And,
I have no idea. It must have been anticlimactic. I remember the bit after that where he was getting a medal and then Diana Reid came in as a nun.
Actually,
I was a bit confused by that. I think I must have missed 5 minutes there somewhere.
There was a bit slightly earlier on where the only people being let onto the ground were nuns and other people of the cloth. So she went off, presumably mugged a nun.
Yeah.
And then came back to get in.
Mugged
a
nun. Yeah, because in the finale, we're missing Sonia, who's been following along all this time.
She has been the main character. The main character, because she's the first one, and it's her kind of story.
Yeah.
Well, she was weird.
And then
she
did the kind of drop her at the end for the last.
Yeah.
They make it all about the boys.
She was given the side mission of getting onto the grounds and warning everyone inside. But she didn't get in time.
No, she doesn't get in until the end, until Oliver Reed has... Saved the day and been awarded a medal.
Yeah.
How did Telly Savalas die in On Her Majesty's Secret Service?
He
got blown up.
Did he get blown up?
Well, no, he didn't die because he's Blofeld.
No, Blofeld. Blofeld gets away every time.
Okay, did he actually die in this movie?
Yeah, he died. He went down with the blimp, more or less. You know, he got beaten up.
Okay. Must have done.
Yeah, let's assume that.
Must have gone down.
Let's not remember. But like. The weird thing about her story arc is we haven't talked about her that much, considering she's one of the main focuses. She is basically out to prove that the ethics of assassination is wrong, and then she is constantly trying to find out where Ivan is. So she's following Ivan.
Lord Boswick convinces her that she should follow Ivan to document his progress from a journalistic point of view, when really he just wants a spy.
Yeah, but she's sort of caught along. She sort of just finds him every time he tries to get away, and then he eventually puts up with her and is like, I'm sick of trying to get rid of you. I'll keep you on. You're a nice, attractive woman. Come with me while I do my assassinating.
And then some really weird circumstances as well. I remember she walks into like the gentleman's club brothel, and then they just because she's a woman, they just use her as a prostitute and take her away to Oliver Reed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what are you doing here?
Woman in a brothel, you must be a prostitute.
It's like, there's a lot of like lines converging for this to happen.
Yeah. So she just sort of awkwardly is along with Ivan as he tries to deal with all of his assassin foes now. And somewhere along the line, she stops caring about the ethics of murder.
Yeah.
And is fine with him murdering all of his rivals. Not rivals, but all the people who are trying to kill him now.
It's because she's fallen in love with him. apparently.
But they don't. Yeah, they don't really. Quite,
it's quite the 180 for a character, and it's kind of you see where the filmmakers are coming from. I mean, you've got Diana Rigg, who's most famous for like her kind of the Emma Peel character.
Mm.
So like she's the feisty, like modern woman. And at the beginning, that's kind of clear, but then towards the end, they kind of just push her to the side, and then she becomes the bumbling joke at the end, where she runs in trying to save the day, but it's all been saved by the man already.
Yeah,
that's quite odd for Diana Rigg, because she was always very keen on being a good role model for women, really.
Yeah,
hmm.
I think it says more of the script in general. It's a bit of a patchwork of ideas. They've got their main conceit, which is bumping off various assassins, but they also have a kind of Bond-like save-the-world thing. They have a sort of romance thrown in, sort of, but they don't really deal with it fully. They've got a kind of cool spy thriller idea, and it's a kind of a jumbled mess of farcical jokes and old-style humour. And it makes for a very strange and unusual film overall.
Extremely I think that's really entertaining. One thing I am finding now is that I'm it's a bit of a mess in my head. I'm not really remembering it now.
Yeah.
As well. So you know, that's obviously a bad thing about the film. But I remember enjoying it a lot whilst watching it.
It's because it kind of catches you off guard with its humour.
Yeah.
The farce is funny, and it's kind of it's so over the top and mad that you can't help but smirk at it and laugh along and enjoy the madness of it. So you get caught up in these silly characters playing out dopey conceits, and you know, at no point are you going, "Oh, this is tremendously exciting." You're just sort of going, "Oh, this is ludicrous," and having fun. And that's it knows that because it isn't playing it for, it isn't a satire so much as it is just trying to be funny, mm-hmm. and be something to enjoy in an afternoon. Probably a Sunday's a good time to watch this, I'd say. Got nothing else.
Oh yeah, definitely. This is another like perfect Sunday afternoon film.
I think my only thing about it really is that it's a little bit flabby in the middle. It loses steam a little bit, but then it picks it up again. So I think, other than that, it is enjoyable and I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of small moments in it as well. They have like little moments like when she first meets, when she's first trying to find out where the secret assassination bureau is. She's kind of led on a strange, go to the hat shop and ask for this particular thing, and then through this way, madam, and then suddenly she's in a car and being driven, and it's like, what's going on? So there's these nice moments where they've thought of clever ideas that are kind of amusing to watch happen.
Mm.
So it's got its moments throughout, so I wouldn't say any one bit lets me down, other than I guess the ending for me, where they kind of go a different direction with the ending.
Mm.
But it keeps you sort of chuckling away, and it's, you know,
it's nice and it's funny. It has the narrative integrity of a Roger Moore Bond movie, but overall, overall, it's nice.
Nice. Yeah.
So nice. I feel like we're wrapping up. Anyone got any other areas we haven't talked about that they can remember, or should we just give our ratings out of whatever we want?
No, I think we've summed it up.
I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 bombs.
No, I'll tell you what we'll do. Instead of doing like traditional scoring, just we'll score it and pick your favourite bomb, and then so your favourite bomb is the best score, your least favourite bomb is a low score. Just pick a bomb that represents this movie.
I'm gonna go,
and that can be your rating.
I'm gonna go with the classic cartoon bomb, the big round with the few sticking out the top, because this is an old school movie that is just cartoonish and fun.
It's true. It's the TNT pot, isn't it? Barrel. With the huge fuse.
Or if you had to pick a bomb to rate this movie, what would you...
I'm trying to think of bombs. I'll maybe go with the classic stick of dynamite.
With TNT written on it and like...
Yeah, that's pretty good. It works. I mean... I'd like to say it's a very good movie, and that Diana Rigg was very attractive in this movie, and Oliver Reed wasn't quite as ruined as he was later on in his career.
That is a nice side note that I'd like to add, actually, that Diana Rigg did a very good job of being very attractive without being particularly exposed. I know it's got something to do with the period that it was set in, But yeah. they were very restrained with the way that
and
she looked.
She's got a kind of Mary Poppins style confidence in herself. And it's nice to see a woman from that era not being pathetic. She's kind of, she's very confident and she's happy to be going along with it. She's not just coming along for the ride. She is a focused, modern woman who is going to take down this assassination bureau. So yeah. that's good to see from a 60s movie.
But yes, you need to name a bomb.
I like you that you've picked the classic cartoon bombs of like Warner Brothers cartoons and whatnot.
That's because H-bombs and nuclear bombs are too serious.
Yeah.
And it's not like a modern grenade. It's not gritty and edgy. So I'm going to go and go with the round black bomb with the word bomb written on it in white, with like a long fuse. So that's the one I'd go. Fun, but like not to be taken too seriously.
Yeah. Ultimately kind of forgettable, but you know, you will enjoy yourself whilst watching it.
Yeah, it's a mess, but it's an enjoyable mess. So that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.
Boom.